Glory to you, God, whose power working in us right now is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. I was having dinner the other night at the Canterbury on a night before I was going to be teaching a Bible study. And I was sitting at the table with some residents, and one of them turned to me and she said, "I got religion." And I said, "How?" And she said her daughter had been visiting and her daughter seemed different. And so she said, "Why are you different?" And she said, "I found God." God wants a relationship with each of us. How is yours doing? Advent is a good time to take a temperature reading. Today's gospel has John the Baptist getting his listeners to stop and take note of how they are doing in their relationship with God category. Are they bearing good fruit for God? Were they ready to grow in a fuller relationship with God? And were they ready for the real presence of Jesus that was coming? Are we? God has a personal desire to be known for who God is. And it was the prophets like John who had this job to make God known. God's desire for a relationship based on the Spirit and the truth is at the heart of who God is. The most simple, radical truth about God is love, unconditional love. So, if God is love, then religion is relationships. If God is love, then religion needs to be relationships of love with God and with one another. Now, one of the ways God has chosen to help guide us in these relationships is with the Ten Commandments. I think most of us know the Ten Commandments. We might have a different translation of the Bible, but basically the words are the same. But if it's an Elizabethan version of the King James type, we would hear a lot of thous and shalts and shalt nots. Or we might hear it in our own common vernacular, like the New Revised Standard Version, which we use every Sunday. Or some parts of the country simplify the whole thing and say it their way. Such is the case of the Southern Ten Commandments. Because some people have trouble with all those shalts and shalt nots. Folks just aren't used to talking that way. So in Middle Tennessee, they translated the King James into the Jackson County version of the Ten Commandments. It's posted on the wall of the Cross Trails Church in Gainesboro, Tennessee. And it goes like this. Commandment number one, just one God. Number two, put nothing before God. Number three, watch your mouth. Number four, get yourself to Sunday meeting. Number five, honor your ma and your pa. Number six, no killing. Number seven, no fooling around with another fella's gal. Number eight, don't take what ain't yours. Number nine, no telling tales or gossiping. And number 10, don't be hankering for your buddy's stuff. Now that's plain and simple. Yet we, like Israel, don't always succeed. For John, obeying the Ten Commandments as the ancestors of Abraham were supposed to do, was actually not enough. It is simply not enough to get by in life by honoring the Ten Commandments. So to get his message across, John first called the crowd a name. "You brood of vipers." That's not a good way to start a conversation. But John did just that. He called them a brood of vipers. And what's a viper? It's a venomous snake. And there are 6 categories of venomous snakes out of the 35 snake types in Israel. So a viper is venomous, able to kill with one bite. So for John to be calling all those standing in front of him vipers, he was reaching for a description that matched his mood and his message. So why did people come to hear John, and why did they stay? John the Baptist was respected by his people as a prophet, and they hadn't had one for 400 years. If God was speaking again through a human messenger, and God had intervened in the past, then even though they knew the truth would be hard to hear, they wanted to hear what he had to say. It was God, they felt, who was speaking through John. So John, like the Old Testament prophets of the past, spoke harshly and risked offending. He warned that God required a real change of heart, transformed lives. God wanted fruitfulness from repentance. It was not going to be enough to follow the Ten Commandments, no matter what translation was used. The Ten Commandments were and are the framework of a relationship with God and one's neighbor. But what God wants of each of us are transformed lives that bear fruit. "It is not enough," John said, "to be a member of the Chosen People of God Club. It is not enough to be a member of the parish of St. Francis and show up on Sunday mornings fulfilling one of the commandments." How do we share a life transformed by the love of God? We are tempted to regard this challenge of John as anachronistic, having little to do with today. The Jews who were listening trusted their heritage as children of Abraham as their ticket to God. And John said, "Whoa, that membership card just is not enough. God wants a life transformed." Sometimes we too trust in our roots rather than the fruit of our action. We appreciate our membership here, take pride in our place in church, organizations, or committees, proud of our accomplishments. John emphasized that none of these has real value in themselves. Is the work of service done intentionally out of love? Is it rooted in God, the source of love? Only then will it bear fruit. Otherwise, it is busyness. So John said, "If you have more than you need, like 2 coats, and you know of someone who has none, share with someone who has none. Go share what you have with those who have not, like Mama Hill and her families. Like in a crowded store, give way with a humble smile. At work, do what you do with patient, loving kindness. A living faith in God's presence with each person and each event will give us the eyes to see, the opportunities to serve, and give of ourselves for another's benefit." Lesser Feasts and Fasts is our book of saints in the Episcopal Church. And it tells us that in March of 1965, Jonathan Daniels, a seminarian in the Episcopal Theological School at Cambridge, heard the appeal of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to go to Selma, Alabama, to join in the campaign to secure the right to vote for the disenfranchised African American citizens of that state. One afternoon at evening prayer in his seminary, he heard the words of the Magnificat spoken. God has put down the mighty from their seat and has exalted the humble and the meek. God has filled the hungry with good things. In that moment, Jonathan said, I knew I must go to Selma. The words from the Magnificat were to grow more and more dear for me in the weeks ahead. Jonathan Daniels went to Selma in August of that year. He and three fellow volunteers were soon arrested during a demonstration. They were thrown in jail and were released 6 days later. As they walked to a small store, a young black woman was approaching the store also, 16 years old, Ruby Sales. A deputy sheriff threatened Ruby with his rifle. Jonathan Daniels saw what was about to happen, pushed Ruby aside, and was killed by the blast of the sheriff's shotgun. Jonathan gave his life for another. Jonathan was able to do that in that moment because his life before that moment was a transformed life. Jonathan's life bore fruit in that moment when it most counted, and another's life was saved. That's the message John is trying to share today. It is not enough to be saved by membership in a religion or a religious group. Is your life transformed? Are you growing in a living relationship of love that bears fruit? Now, John's listeners were taken aback. They followed the Ten Commandments handed down by Moses, and they had heard from John that was not enough. Now, what were they to do? John said, give from what you have. Give to others in honesty and truth and love. Love others as God loves you. So this message is passed on to us today, 2,000 years later. Allow for a conversion of heart, a heart open to a living relationship with God. Allow God to transform you into an instrument of love and peace. John was preparing his listeners to experience the reality of the radical love of Jesus Christ. Are we ready? It is not enough to follow the Ten Commandments. The community of Palos Verdes of the South Bay needs more than that. Our parish, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, they all need more than that. Every situation we are in needs godly people willing to notice where love is needed. We need to be transformational agents of love wherever we are. John's listeners asked how, and so do we. John pointed to Jesus as the source of power. How do we open ourselves to this power of the transforming presence of God's love, the Spirit? Ask. Ask God to transform you. John said it simply. Jesus, the one who is to come, would baptize with the Spirit and with fire. We baptize you and me in the Spirit as we open our hearts. Ask and you shall receive. Today, right now, in this Advent, is an invitation to stop and take stock of your relationship with God and one another. How are you doing? Is religion based on the minimum? Is it enough that you get through the day without hurting another or yourself? Is it too busy right now? Too many things demanding your attention? Too worried about your future and your finances? Have we lost our balance to fully appreciate the event of Christ's birth? How can we experience a rebirth in the love of God? How can we do that if we are emotionally, physically, mentally drowning? We're going to have to do some letting go. We're going to need to stop and listen and make some better choices. Nothing matters except love. God is love. Nothing matters except our lives transformed by God's love. This transformation roots us in a peace the world cannot give. Transformation begins with a simple opening of our hearts to the living God and saying, I can't keep going the way I have been. Make me new. May the peace and love of God, which truly passes all understanding, be with us this day and always, transforming us. If God is love, then religion is relationships of love that change us and our world. Amen.